play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Looking to wet your whistle? Well, Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill has you covered. Swing by one of Hotshot's 11 area locations and try the featured beer of the month. This month, enjoy a pint of Busch. It's available for an exclusive price at Hotshot's. There'll be a new featured beer each month of 2018, and you can get the skinny on all of them at hotshotsnet.com. Hotshot's, all the games, all the time, for over 25 years.
More fresh thinking from Schnucks. Fresh steak, fresh sausage, fresh kebabs, fresh ground beef, fresh salmon burgers. We cut, grind, and prepare them in the store every day. Our apologies. This will put immense pressure on your side dishes. This week, get our Meatmasters Value Pack fresh regular ground beef for just $2.99 a pound or less. Ground fresh daily, sold in packages of 3 pounds or more. Schnucks, fresh every day.
Hi, this is Tim Woodburn. My firm, Gateway Investigations, has been in business in St. Louis for over 10 years. We use modern GPS technology to find people or to figure out what they're doing when you're not around. Call me, 238-1367, or email me, tim@gatewaypi.net.
See the USA in your Chevrolet.
Yeah, you tell them, Dinah. Sing it.
America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the
USA. Well, it's been 48
hours
since we last checked in with this guy. Let's bring him back in for another appearance by popular demand. Here he is, John Londoff.
Hey, how are you, sir? How are you, buddy?
It's a good day, and I'd like to see how the other people on the show are today. John didn't ask you guys, but I'll ask
him. Well, I'll ask him. Don't, Mr. Budinski. Hey, Dan, how are you? Even though I just talked to you for 5 minutes. Hi, Dan.
I'm doing great today, John.
Awesome.
How are you?
And, Dan, I'm doing fantastic. Doing great. Had a little lunch at Hendel's today. Cafe Market. I love that place.
Oh.
I've got a family and to meet one of my good friends,
free
Jim
meal.
Bright, for a little meeting at Il Balago here in just a little
I
had dinner last night at Annie Gunn's.
That's three free meals.
Are you kidding me? Let me tell you, last night was not free. It was Robert Harry Londoff's 25th birthday celebration on his birthday, but they took great care of us as always. Tim, how are you, Tim?
I am excellent, sir. And in fact, I just asked for your number last night and got it. I'm going to be contacting you because I'm going to co-sign on a vehicle for a friend of mine, and we are coming to your place to buy a car.
My man.
It's for a team player.
My man. I appreciate that. And Trevor.
We call him Limey. He didn't even answer to Trevor.
Oh, and he had a day.
I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Trevor is just back from a big date with a gal named Maggie last night. So first date, first time he'd ever seen her. He's kind of riding high. He's on cloud 8 at least. So I'm sure Trevor, Limey, see, he got me calling you Trevor.
I know.
That you're going to tell John you're doing
fine today.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Londoff? I am doing fantastic today, sir. Thank you.
All right, mate. do you ever slip and start calling people mate?
I do every now and again. I've said it to Frank a couple times. I'll be like, hey, you got 30 seconds, mate. And then I realize.
Or if you're talking to a group of your buddies, you call them lads?
I do. Me and the lads are going out for a couple of drinks.
Yeah? Frank, what if he... What about bloke?
Said
lads,
is that,
would you say?
Bloke, is that something?
Yeah, bloke
you guys
is something.
Use that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's normally for somebody we don't know. Like, you know, you're like, who's that random bloke? Or I saw Mike talking to some bloke. Something like that.
Wow, there's something we don't use over here, ever. We don't use bloody either. And it was Limey who tipped us off. I never knew this. Bloody is like the F word over there.
It is.
If you say that was bloody good, you might as well just say over here that was effing good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So what about that song from Supertramp, one of the great British bands?
Right. You bloody well. Right.
You bloody well. Right.
Yep, that's pretty much that. They're politely saying the F word.
What about Sunday Bloody Sunday? Same thing?
That, no.
Sunday effing Sunday.
Sunday effing Sunday, sure, but I think that's actually about the Bloody Sunday incident.
And, you know, I'm sorry, but isn't U2 an Irish band?
Irish band, yeah.
Yeah, so probably doesn't really go equate. I mean, you know.
Different countries.
Do they like each other? You know, Ireland and the Brits, do they get along?
No, I think it's a lot better now, but there's still some bad blood there.
How come we never hear anybody mention Wales? I mean, nobody ever mentions Wales, except, like, oh, Tom Jones. He's Welsh.
He's Welsh.
And I think Engelbert Humperdinck, maybe he's Scottish. I don't know. But nobody ever says anything. Is Wales that small?
Wales is a very, very small country. My family is actually from Wales on both sides of the pond. My American family is from Wales, and my English family is from Wales. They relocated during World War II. And, yeah. It's a small little country. It's about maybe half the size of Rhode Island, I think, or about the size of Rhode Island. I mean, it's a tiny little country, and they just got brought into England, and that was about it.
Now, speaking of that, have you guys, any of you, John, Tim, Dan, even Limey, have you ever in your life met a family or anybody? Where are you guys from? Rhode Island?
Never in my life.
I've never met anybody from there.
Yeah.
And there have to be people who moved to St. Louis from Rhode Island at some point.
Well, if you've never met anyone, I would say that would be a no, because you know everybody.
No, I don't.
You're
Montana. Montana's huge.
You're such an outgoing guy. When you go out, you're like, say hi to everybody.
No, that's
why I'm saying it. You don't.
Oh, okay.
We were at dinner night years ago. And it had snowed, and it was like, are we still going to go? We went to Paul Mano's, all right? And you're like, yeah, we're still going. You got a Tahoe. And then afterwards, there were some friends of ours, and I was introducing you. I turned around, and you're gone. So I introduced your wife. And they're like, I said, I don't know where my friend Frank went. You were brushing the snow off of your vehicle and our vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Both your vehicles. And I'm like, glad you threw that in there. At least I'm glad you told the rest of the story.
Why didn't you want to say hi to my friends? And you're like, I didn't want to. They were other car dealers, and you're like, I don't want to meet any other car dealer. I deal with the best. Brought a tear to my eye when you said that.
Okay. I'm glad you told the, as Paul Harris likes to say, the rest of the story. Because the rest of the story was, I was doing an unselfish thing, brushing off both our cars while you met. Yeah, and it was another car dealer. I don't need to meet another car dealer. What do I need with another car dealer? None of us ever, ever need any other dealer but you.
There's only one, General Dodge Chevrolet, right here. Take care of the greatest listeners on the planet. You know, and I'm sure now with the 590 app, they can listen all over the planet. That's unbelievable. You didn't have it at that old place. Now you can listen anywhere all the time.
Well, they have it, but nobody's listening anymore. They have it, but the audience has bailed.
But every day, I mean, we have more and more and more customers that are here because of their AM and the PM. So, Ken, thank you enough. Great, great, great deal. Don't you love it now that it stays light until 7:30?
Yes,
you know, I just love it. I think it's so great.
I want to ask you a question. I got to ask you a question because I read an article this morning, and it was about employers interviewing people for jobs, and this was part of the article. When you interview, do you actually interview people who come to work there, or just salespeople, or any people at all?
I meet a prospective employee.
But you don't conduct the interview, were you?
No, sir.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you know whether or not...
Not that it's above me or anything, but I mean, I have interviewed thousands of people, so if you have a question, go ahead and roll with it, buddy.
I do. Do you ask somebody, or do you think your people ask somebody when they come in for an interview, how much did you make at your previous job? What was the salary? Is that something you ask people?
Well, I don't think you can ask somebody that unless they want to divulge in an application.
Actually, according to this article, you can. You can. You have every right to ask that. But... I don't know. I thought it was a great question because I haven't had to have an interview for a long time.
You know, we sometimes have salespeople from other stores that want to come to work here, and we don't flood you know, our facility. We have 18 salespeople. Most stores our side would have probably 28. But you're taking away from the quality, so we stay with quality. And so what I'm getting at is a lot of people want to come in and sell at General Electric Blade because they know that they can, they do better. Our commission plan is unbelievable. And, you know, we're all about customer first. So, you know, that's why we're blessed and we get a lot of great, great, great customers and a lot of great AM and the PM listeners that, are now repeat buyers. You know, we talk about how they're buying this.
I don't think it is a question you should ask. I'll tell you why. You have a job. The person across from you is interviewing for that job. You know what the job pays, and you will tell them what it pays, and it's either acceptable or not. Because when you ask somebody, what did you make, unless you're going to check it out and see if they're telling the truth or not, I think it's a temptation for a lot of people to kind of pad what they make. Oh, you know, let's say you're making 50. I was making 65. Don't even give them that opportunity. Just tell them what the job is, what it pays, and it'll either be attractive to them or not. I don't think it's a question you need to ask. I really don't. If you think that person is somebody you want to come to work for you, tell them, all right, here's what we got for you. And they'll either say, hey, look forward to starting. See you Monday. I got a job when I was really young. I was 23, and I got a job, and I remember the guy at the end of the interview in his office, we shook hands, and he said, all right. He said, you start Monday. I'll see you Monday. And as I walked, I've been bald since I was 23, and I was 23 when this happened, and as I walked out of his office, he said, by the way, he said, how old are you? And I said, well, it's all on my resume that I gave you. He said, I don't read these things. I don't pay attention to that. I wanted to meet you. You're hired already. How old are you? And I said, how old do you think I am? And he said, 28, 30. I said, nope, I'm 23, but you just agreed to pay me the salary of a 30-year-old. I'll see you Monday. And I walked out. And he just laughed as I walked out. But it's true. The ball thing helped me.
Now, that's a question you cannot ask.
He did that, but this is a long, John, this is a long time ago before everything was inappropriate.
I mean, yeah. You've been around a long time, so yeah, it had to be a long time ago.
It was the 70s, and yeah, they asked that. He goes, by the way, how old are you? But you're right, now you can't even ask that. And I don't know how I even feel about that. You can't do anything anymore. You know that. You run
a
business.
Well, you can have fun. You can still have fun. You still have to have happy thoughts. You still have to be a positive person, and you hang around positive people. You know, I can't stand you. Did you hear about this? You hear about that? I do want to bring up one thing. I mean, the 10-month-old puppy that died in an airplane because the stewards made him put the, you know, carriage up in the, you know, overhead compartment. What is?
I don't even know about this story. I don't even know about this story.
It's terrible. I mean, it's just terrible. I mean, you know, it hits home. I have an 8-month-old puppy, and you know. Anyone would try to hurt that puppy, I'm telling you what, they better watch out. But, you know, more and more people travel with their dogs. It wasn't a service dog, but it's just, you know, a small one. Small dog could have fit probably right under the seat. You know, I don't know why.
How did it die up in the overhead? That's not sealed off where there's no air, is it? Or is it just, did it get too hot, or how did it die?
I don't know, but
was it in a crate, or they just shoved the actual puppy in the overhead?
No, it was in a little dog box.
Okay.
I got the story if you want it.
So I would say that it probably had its oxygen cut off enough that it didn't get any oxygen.
Well, John, we have in our presence an actual newsman. Let's go now live to him for the details on this story. Tim Woodward. Tim, what do you have for us?
A 10-month-old French bulldog was kept in an overhead compartment for an entire 3.5-hour trip, and it died after barking continuously for 2 hours, and the family refused to take it out of the overhead compartment, and there was there's uncertainty as to exactly why the dog died. They haven't issued a cause of death on it.
Mm. Okay, but you said the family refused to take it out of the overhead.
Right, they left it up there. It barked.
So it's not the fault of the airlines, it's the family's fault.
Well,
right?
According to the story from CBS News, the family says a flight attendant forced them to put their dog in the overhead bin. I'm mistaken. I'm reading this on the go here because this was brought up last minute. A flight attendant forced them to put their dog in an overhead bin, and then he barked there for 2 hours, and she wouldn't let him take it down, and it died up there.
Oh, how about that? You go up to get your dog, and it's dead. That's true.
I mean, hey, first of all, you know, I love human beings more than dogs, but it's still my dog. A dog, a 10-month-old dog, it's so cruel, it's not even, it's even.
Now, this story's not over. There's going to be outrage. People get more outraged over animal abuse like this than they do humans, so this is not over.
They believe he'd suffocated.
Yeah.
Whoa. It's terrible. This
airline is going to pay, or they're going to have every dog lover in the world not flying them.
Yeah.
What airline was it? What airline was it?
It was United Airlines.
Yeah. They're going to have to make this right, or they're going to lose a lot of business.
Yeah, so one thing, business, it's not like when you do a little segue here. We are open for business until 9 o'clock tonight at Johnny Law and Duff Chevrolet. Mm. So give us a call, please, 314-837-1800. That's 314-837-1800. Or 24/7 at lawanddoff.com. And I would love to chat with you lads forever. But I have a customer that's here that wants to buy a car.
Oh, man, go take care of them. Hopefully they're AM and the PM, okay?
All right. We'll send you, if they're not, we're going to make them AM and
the PM. You bet. We'll send you more. Thank you, John.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Whew, thank goodness that customer came along. He'd been on here another 10 minutes, you know, calling me Mr. Budinsky and stuff. See, I don't think he was going to finish that story. Initially, he was going to say, yeah, I tried to introduce you to some friends. I looked around, you were gone. You didn't want to meet him. Thank goodness. I think he realized, I better tell, as Paul Harris says, the rest of the story. Yeah, I'm glad he did. And I barely do remember that. It was snowing, and I did brush off both our cars. You know what I don't miss is, like, when we lived in, and a lot of you listening now have to do this. You live in an apartment, there's no carport or garage. You go out on those days, and the car is just, you can't even find it. It's covered up with ice and snow, and you chip what you can off and brush what you can off, then you gotta heat it up, get in it, start to heat. You can give yourself another 20, 30 minutes before work just to melt the stuff off.
Boy, you have to start it and heat it up, and then you have to go in. Then you go inside, or you have to sit with the car because people are...
They'll steal it if it's running.
Cars, yeah.
Yeah, until it kind of, the heat comes on and melts it from the inside out. And I will tell you, I've said this before, after we got married, for a while, like lots of young married people, we had to go to the laundromat. Oh my goodness, I hated that. And when we finally got a washer and dryer, that was like winning the lottery. Now, not have to go to the laundromat anymore. And the other thing was, the first time we were able to get a house, the house was $53,000. It was over by not far from Pheasant Run, not far from the Westport area there. And it was $53,000, but it had a two-car garage. And I went out I told the builder, I said, go ahead and put into the price garage door openers, because I didn't want to do that after the fact. And I'm not kidding when I tell you this. I just sat in the driveway and just opened, closed, and just sat there and thought, this is unbelievable. Because I'd never had a garage door opener. My parents didn't have a garage door opener. They had sort of a garage, but it was a manual. You get out and open them. To me, to have a garage door opener and garage was just the best. And then, you look out and it's snowing, and you remember, oh wait, we don't have to go brush that stuff off anymore. We have a garage. And laundromats, there's something just depressing about a laundromat. They smell good. They smell like Tide or fabric softener or something. But there's something depressing. I don't know how to explain it. It's like, you're just sitting there waiting for your laundry. And that in itself, and by the way, there were no, I'll get on my iPad while I wait and get some work done. No, you just sat there. Maybe you had a Walkman or something. You listened to some music, but the people in there look sad to me. And I think they're sad because they didn't have a washer and dryer. Mm-hmm. That's why they're sad. And then there's always, like in the movies, they make it out like, oh, that's the great place to meet like hot single women. Maybe. It's also the place to meet not so hot, ugly men and women who they aren't in there to meet. It's not like they're sitting at a bar. You know, sometimes a person sits at a bar and it's kind of obvious. They're there hoping they'll, strike up a conversation with somebody. I don't think anybody goes to the laundromat for that. They just want to get in and get out of there. And then the baskets, those plastic baskets full of clothes. And then there's the fact that other people see your underwear. Right? In the laundromat.
Mm-hmm.
if there's some, you know, you got some skid marks going, yeah, get it in there quickly and close the door so they can't see them. And then there's the I thought I had enough quarters, but I don't situation, which seemed to always pop up. Oh, my God. I'm just about ready. I got one more load to do. No more quarters. Ugh.
Well, what's even worse is when you put the clothes in and the detergent on top of the clothes and then realize you don't have the quarters that you need.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Now, almost as bad, maybe even worse, is apartment complexes. And we lived in one of these where they have their own sort of laundromat. Mm-hmm. The problem with those is there's like four washing machines down there and four dryers and 900 people that live there. So you got to go at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're not maintained the way the laundromat equipment is. So one of the three or two of the three machines doesn't work. And that's kind of creepy, because when you do go down there, it's usually in a basement type place, and you're kind of waiting for somebody to come in and murder you while you're in there. You know, while laundromats are usually in like a brightly lit sort of shopping mall setting. And I guess laundromats still do well. Somebody told me once, you want to get in the laundromat business, a cash business, you just go in and just empty the money out of the things. I don't think it's that easy. I think there's a lot of maintenance because it's equipment.
Yeah,
and
I knew someone.
It breaks down.
I knew somebody that owned a laundromat like that, and they... There was a lot of maintenance. They have to go in and clean it out a lot and clean everything up, make sure the machines are clean and all that.
Did you ever go to one where there was a woman that worked there and she'd fold your clothes for you? Did you ever have that?
No.
We went to, there was one laundromat, and there's a woman who worked there, and you could leave. You pay her. You go, look, we're going to run some errands. Watch our clothes for you. Show her which ones were yours. And then not only would she watch them, but when they were done, she would dry them, take them out of the washer, dry, and fold them and stack them in the basket for you. And if I remember, it wasn't that much money. You know, $5 or whatever. That was kind of a good thing. Then you just come back, grab your stuff, and go.
I lived in
memories. What?
I lived in an apartment complex one time with an entire minor league hockey team. We were getting ready to fly out that morning on a long road trip, and one of the players was caught going to the apartment complex laundry room to get his laundry done at the last minute, and he put his clothes in the dryer, and one of the other players took this massive bag of, I guess I would call it glitter.
And
he took the glitter and he threw it in the dryer, and every article of clothing this kid had was glitterized, and he had no choice but to wear it through the airport and wear it to the city, to Philadelphia we were flying to.
That's
the funniest thing.
Cruel.
That's a great
shirt,
word.
Everything.
Glitterized. You just made up a great word.
Yeah, thank you.
Glitterized.
Thank you.
It was glitterized. Sitting here yapping, almost forgot. Dr. Doug is getting really tired of waiting on us. Can we just hit his music and bring it? There you go. Sorry, doctor. That's right. It is time to check in with Dr. Doug Pernikoff. You need to call right now. I didn't mean to kill so much time. Honest to goodness, I kind of forgot for a minute. My mind drifted away. Dr. Doug is your pet's best friend and the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. I'm going to give you two numbers. Jump on one of them, and if it's busy, jump on the other one. And if you have a pet, he will be more than happy to give you some good free advice. 314-821-0590. That's 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. Dr. Doug is brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States for all kinds of good reasons. And you'll find out what they are when you let them come out and give you a free in-home estimate. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Clarkson Wilson Veterinary Clinic, Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Sorry, doctor, I got carried away with the laundromat stories,
no,
and I just sort
I
of forgot.
I feel the exact same way, Frank. I used to hate going to the laundromat, and even after I started my professional career and we didn't have any cash, it was, I don't know, I had a sense of inadequacy by having
yeah,
to
that's
go
a
to
good,
the
no, that's a good way to put it. You felt like a loser. Because
right,
you're
right.
In there like, I should have a washer by now.
Yeah,
you know?
Washer, dryer, what the heck? But yeah.
Now, the truth is, in some little apartments like we lived in, you didn't have room for one anyway. Even if you could afford one, there was no place
right.
to put it. So you know,
or you're afraid to go downstairs to the basement where it was.
Yeah, because so. It's kind of creepy and scary. So
yeah,
how are you doing? Are you okay?
I am AM in the PM.
I knew he was going to get that out of the way because I knew he wouldn't forget it. All right, we got some calls coming in. I'm going to give the numbers one more time. Folks, I think there is a line open, and if there's not, as soon as you hear a caller finish, you jump in because that means the line is open. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. We'll start with Jeff. Jeff, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, hello there.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
Good, good. What can I help you with?
Just calling. Me and my girlfriend have a newer puppy, a couple of months old now. And now all of a sudden, you know, we leave him during the day. And if he kind of poops on the floor, he likes to eat it afterwards.
Oh, uh-huh. Man.
Okay. And you want to know what to stop, stop him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so a couple things is he shouldn't really be just running around or even in an isolated area like a kitchen. He really should be in a crate. And the reason is they're inclined, because of who they are, as carnivores, not to want to mess up their home. So if you have mm-hmm. them in a tight little crate like they're in a den in the wild, it's basically a little hole, and they cram in there, and they know not to, instinctively not to mess up. So that would be first, is how you manage them would make a point. And then in terms of eating it, I'm understanding, and I've talked to doctors about this, that even human children, if it's available to them, have been known to eat poop.
No.
It's true.
No.
Absolutely. In fact, that's a true point. So, but the point is, here's what you can do. There is a product that most vets carry called Forbid, and it's an oral product that you give every day into their regular dog food, and for whatever, I'm not sure what the mechanism is, but it's incorporated into their poop, and it deters them from wanting to eat the poop. So that would be, but you've got two exercises on your responsibility, your shoulders are to, first of all, talk to your veterinarian about a proper way to train him to a crate until he learns and matures enough to do that. And then, secondly, you want to make sure and not make it available, but also you can prep him with the Forbid or some other product like that. There may be other products in the marketplace.
So, Jeff, okay? As Dr. Doug said, okay. It deters them so that, in fact, after they use it, they are deterred. See what I did there?
Thank very you. Good. Very good. I missed that one completely after 36 years as a veterinarian.
So, Jeff, does that help? I hope it does.
Yes, it does. I appreciate the information.
Yeah, if you have more problems, just call us back. Okay?
Will do. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. All right, on to Mary Lynn. Mary Lynn, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. How are you today, dear?
Good, Mary Lynn. And what can I do for you, honey?
Well, I'm kind of looking for a little bit of a second opinion. Our dog is under veterinary care. Okay. She is having low hemoglobin. We tried the prednisone. It didn't work. She's on the cyclosporine now. We finally, this has been since last June, we finally got her blood up where it should be. Mm-hmm. But over the course of the last month, she had drooping on the right side of her face, and her jowls were drooping, and her eye wouldn't blink. And, of course, we had her checked out, and the vet said she wasn't sure what it was. I thought maybe Bell's palsy or a small stroke. Mm-hmm. And then last week, the other side of the face started drooping.
Mm-hmm.
So
I got an opinion.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Okay. So, first of all, it sounds like your puppy is either dealing with an autoimmune hemolytic anemia.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. AIHA, is that what they told you?
Yep.
She really didn't have an answer, but she thought it was an autoimmune disease.
Yeah, that's an autoimmune process. Mm-hmm. So that's why the cyclosporine and or pred alone together can be very useful. But if that's stable, that's great. Sometimes they don't stabilize. And again,
I know.
I don't know your vet. I'm not making any judgments. But it sounds like she's got you going in the right direction. But there are specialists available in the medicine departments at these specialty clinics that are excellent. They're board certified. And when you get one that's kind of resistant or not doing what you want, you know, ask her about a reference to one of those. Now, regarding the drooping, you're not really far off. There's something called, you know, Bell's palsy in humans is basically inflammation or disease of the cranial nerve 5 or the facial nerve, okay?
Okay.
And I don't know what the relationship might be between, I think they're probably independent events, but there's an amazing neurologist in town, veterinary neurologist, who's at the VSS specialty clinic, Dr. Wininger, and I know we're not supposed to advertise people, but this is kind of a neutral, generic, helps everybody kind of thing. And that VSS program with Dr. Wininger is amazing. And I wouldn't hesitate to ask your vet for a referral there, because he'll be able to tell you if you've got some other, either an infectious process happening or something that's part of the autoimmune process. He would be able to figure out what your best choices are. Okay?
Okay. So, so you don't think it's a side effect of the cyclosporine, or could it be?
I've never heard that as a side effect, and we use it a lot for different things. But, you know, again, a specialist would probably have those little nuanced conditions like that. And I would definitely say it's worth investing in a call, a visit to the VSS, and talk to Dr. Wininger, see what he suggests as the next best steps for diagnosis and figuring out how to manage it. Okay?
Okay. And is the VSS, is that that new place that just opened up? That
does no, it's been open. It's right at, you can look it up or ask your vet. They'll give you the number. I don't have the number, but it's right off of 141 in Manchester.
Okay, thanks a bunch. I really appreciate
it. Okay, good luck.
Have a great day, guys. Okay.
Hi, Marilyn. Thanks for listening. Here we go. You need to jump in now. We're going to wrap this up. 314-821-0590. That's 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. Yes, doctor.
I was just going to say this puppy that died, I know the story is pretty much what you've heard, but, you know, here's the deal. Who in the world, number one, would stuff a dog up in that space? Number two, what kind of owner would allow it and then not check in on the dog throughout the course of the flight? That's crazy. And finally, I have, you know, I raise these French bulldogs. They are the short-faced dogs that have problems with, you know, breathing and respiration and getting overheated. I mean, I just, none of it makes any sense.
You brought up a good point, though. There's something missing here.
Yeah.
How could you not reach up and just check on the dog? That's a great point.
Right.
What owner would not check on it?
There's got to be, somebody's an imbecile along the way, so yeah, I don't know which
there's
one
there's pieces missing to this puzzle.
Yeah.
Let's get Lori in here. Lori, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug. How are you guys?
Good.
Lori.
Good. I am AM in the PM. I have been forever.
Thank you.
What you got?
So my question is, I have a almost 4-month-old Chiweenie.
A what? A Chiweenie?
Chiweenie, yes.
Okay.
Chihuahua and Dachshund.
Okay.
So we got her almost 3 weeks ago. She is clueless as to what her name is. And we say it to her all the time, and she just, her hearing is fine because she hears, you know, sounds that I wouldn't think she'd be able to hear.
What did you
but
name
she
her?
She just, Zoe.
Oh, maybe she doesn't Zoe. Like the name.
You know what? That's what my son-in-law said. My son-in-law said that exact same thing. Like maybe she just doesn't like it.
You know, I had the exact same situation with another client just last week, seriously. And what I had them do that finally worked, because she told me it worked, she sat down and dedicated some time, maybe a half hour, maybe 45 minutes, and she kept the dog. It was just her and the dog, and she would place the dog so many feet away without any opportunity for anything that would kind of displace the dog's interest, right? So she's focused on the dog. The dog's focused on her, and she would call her. The puppy is inclined to come because they kind of are interested, and then when they come, they get a treat. You say, good, whatever it is, good Zoe.
Zoe, okay.
You put her back, you do it again, you do it back and forth, and if you have to do it more than one session, you do. But they will get it. It's going to have to be, unfortunately, predicated on a reward basis, okay?
Okay.
And I think you'll get it done. It's just being a little more persistent and sticking with it. And if you have to do it a couple days in a row, you do it. But you just keep dedicating some time.
How old, Lori, how old is this dog?
4 months.
She'll be 4 months on April 2nd.
Okay, but you've only had her for, you said, a couple of weeks?
Three weeks. We got her 3 weeks ago.
Doc, is that enough time?
Well, that is enough time. The problem is that a four-month-old dog is already past some of the primary socialization dates, okay? Usually
that's
9 to 11.
That's what I thought part of the problem, yeah.
What if the dog had another name? What if it had already had another name?
It
is
could
that
have.
Possible?
Well, I don't think so because we got her from a breeder, well, a very well-respected breeder, and we bought a dog from there before. But they're really good and... You know, so I think if that was the case, they would have told us. But,
well, here's the thing. If they had 15, 10, 5, 3 puppies to deal with, they're not going to focus on naming the dog. So by four months of age, again, you're past your normal socialization and training, initial training that most dogs get. So this dog's probably been walking around as a no-name, wondering what the heck I'm doing in the world.
What's my name? Hey, dog, come here.
Hey, dog.
Hey, weenie.
Yeah, hey.
You know, that's what they
called
me, and I just
called her, "Hey, you."
Yeah, my family called me Dog for years, and I changed it to Doug just to feel better about myself.
Oh, well, that's awesome. That's awesome. Good for you.
Lori, good luck. Thank you for listening.
Well, thank you so much. All righty, bye-bye.
Okay. You know, Dan, who said, "Hey, you"? Who said that? Was that you, Dan?
I don't know. No, that was her. She said that.
Oh,
she
well,
said,
that's
"Hey,
interesting,
you."
Because we used to have a little female sheep, and that's what we called it.
Oh, my goodness.
See what I did there? Hey, you! It's a female sheep. Now, see, some people might not know that a female sheep is called a ewe.
Yeah.
It's an EWE, I think. Right, Doc? Is that right? EWE?
Excellent. I was impressed.
See, that was actually really good humor, and a lot of people didn't get it. Let's get Jim in here to wrap this up. Jim, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Dog.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
I knew you when you were young. We called you Dog.
Dog?
Is that true, Doctor? They called you Dog?
I'm in therapy. I'm getting better. So, go ahead. How can I help you?
God, I have plenty. sorry. You guys cracked me up. Anyway, friend's dog fell off the bed.
You what?
God damn it.
Oh,
no, you can't. You got to edit that out, Limey.
Limey.
You can't say GD.
Sorry.
Jim said GD. Jim said GD.
Sorry.
And edited it out. That's okay. That's good. So, a dog fell off the bed, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And she's like 12 years old. She's kind of, you know, not peak form. And now she's limping like crazy. So, what should we do?
Front leg, back leg, any leg,
Back leg, yeah.
Okay, so you just need to get it reviewed because there are some injuries that might require more extensive workup, even a surgery in some cases, and many times it can just be a soft tissue injury or a bruise, and it might only require just some anti-inflammatories or pain medication. But your veterinarian is best to review that and give you an assessment and then put you in the right direction in terms of management.
What kind of dog is it?
It's mixed between a Chow and a German Shepherd. And
kind of a big dog.
Probably doesn't have good hips to begin with.
Yeah.
Medium size.
Yeah, it may or may not be a hip. It could be a knee or a hip or even spinal problems. And a 12-year-old dog, tend to have...
When we took her out for a walk and she was looking good, running around. She forgot about it, but then when she came back in, she was limping again.
Yeah, I wouldn't encourage any workup, any working out or anything until somebody has a chance to look at it. They may want to do some x-rays and see if there's pathology that's real evident either in the hips, the back, or in the knees are the most common areas. Okay?
Can we, if it gets better?
I can't hear what you just said.
You cut out on us. What?
Give it a few days. Can we give it a few days and that?
You can give it a few days. It's just that every day, you know, I mean, it seems to me that it'd be more responsible to get in there and just let somebody do a physical real quickly. But if you want to kind of bank on it and just kind of gamble that everything's going to be okay, that's possible. I just can't predict that, obviously. Okay?
Thanks. We'll see you.
Good luck, Jim.
Man.
Yeah, a dose of his own medicine. That's what I call it.
What if he was a stutterer and you just made fun of him?
Oh, now I feel bad. See, now I feel bad. What if he was a stutterer who was calling from another radio station? Then I'd really feel bad. Then I would really feel bad.
What if he was a stuttering albino midget?
No. He would be a stuttering small person with albinism. That's right. Maestro, please, the music for Dr. Doug, if you would.
Please, anytime. Maestro. There it is. There it
love
is.
Love you all.
Doctor, we'll see you next week. Thank you, Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody.
Yeah, there he is.
Brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. Good housekeeping, seal of approval. Only two windows have that, and a tremendous warranty that covers everything. Window World, windowworldstlouis.com for more. On the way, Bill Cleveland, who once again, you give a guy an invitation to drop by every once in a while, and he's here all the time. But that's okay. He's in the studio, and he'll be doing his segment in just mere moments. My job right now is to send you to the dentist, even if you went to the dentist 6 months ago. Are you really sure you want to keep going to the dentist you're going to? Are you crazy about the dentist? Do you look forward to it? I know the answer. The answer is probably no, which tells me you don't go to Ballast Dental Care, because I do. I look forward to it. I look forward to seeing Mary, and Mary looks forward to seeing me. Mary is usually the hygienist that I get, and I look forward to seeing Tricia, and of course Dr. Obi-Wan Kenobi Watanabe, as well as Dr. Olivier and Dr. Haynes. This is a terrific dental clinic, and when I say it's terrific, you're just listening right now and you have no idea what I'm talking about. And you can't, because you're thinking about, my last visit to the dentist wasn't terrific. I didn't particularly like it. That's why I skipped my last two appointments. Don't do that. That is not a good idea, because there's nothing good that's going to come of avoiding going to the dentist. You're going to have more work to be done when you do finally get in there, and it's going to cost even more money. Don't do that, and you don't need to do it. If the reason you're doing it is because you're scared, you're nervous, you're not going to the right place. Ballast Dental Care. Next month, April, I will have been going there for 45 years. 45 years to Ballast Dental Care. That's right. And they can document that. I'm sure they have records. I don't know how far back they go, but if they go back that far, you'll see my name, April of 73, right in there, 45 years. It is a great dental clinic. The people are wonderful. And as far as this, well, do they have the latest state-of-the-art? Yeah, the answer is yes, whatever you were going to ask. They have all that stuff, but it's not about that. A lot of clinics have that. It's about whose hands you're in. What kind of chair-side manner do they have? Do they make you comfortable? Do they take away the anxiety and the fear? Yes, 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 down the list. So do this. Whether you haven't been for 20 years or you were there 6 months ago at some other place, make one appointment at Ballast Dental Care. Just one. Even just a basic checkup and cleaning. My guess is you will never go back to the dentist you went to before. Ever. Again. Ballast Dental Care. The corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads. BallastDentalCare.com.
Who's ready for some USDA prime rib? Any restaurant can call their meat prime, but for a restaurant to proclaim USDA prime, it has to be graded within the top 2% of all meat served in the country. That's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin, located on eastbound Manchester Road, just west of Highway 270. And size matters when it comes to prime rib at Surf and Sirloin. Specials all month long on prime rib in 12-ounce, 18-ounce, and even a Diamond Jim Brady 32-ounce cut. Open for lunch Tuesday through Friday and dinner 7 days a week. Check out their menu online at Surf and Sirloin.
Z-Max Micro Lubricant, famous for making engines run better and last longer, has something new for gun owners. Z-Max for Guns. A two-bottle system with a bore cleaner, conditioner, and a bolt lube. Originally designed for M4s and AR-15s, it'll protect and lubricate the finish and moving parts of any handgun, rifle, or shotgun. Z-Max Micro Lubricant works on heavy-duty engines every day. It'll work on and in your favorite firearms, too. Find out more at ZMAX.com.
Hollywood Casino. Come play, where the rewards and thrills never end. Catch the big game with a cold beer from 99 Hops House. It's your play call with 99 different beers to choose from and great food to fuel your fun. Enjoy live sports entertainment where you're always on the winning team. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
The Post has an all-inclusive home opener party on Thursday, April 5th, when the Cardinals host the Diamondbacks. Open bar and ballpark buffets start at 5:45 and end with the final out. Before and after the party, enjoy $2 domestic and Wells or $3 you call it. A Vegas vacation will be given away at both the Maplewood and Creve Coeur locations. Tickets are only $30 at thepostsportsbar.com/promotions. Use promo code Plowboy to save 15%. The Post Sports Bar and Grill. Stay posted, my friends.
All right, this is my fault. This is my fault. Just 1 second.
Hang on. November, December, January, February. Month. You've got 5 months and a week. Almost 5 months and 2 weeks in this.
I know. I think Bill Cleveland's going to answer some pet questions.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, good move. I would jump right into Bill's music, too. Let's not dwell on what just happened.
Why don't we do that, Dan, when we talk about Bill's date last night?
Oh. Bill Cleveland is in the house. And I'm sure you know he's brought to you by Window World. I hope you do. WindowWorld, StLouis.com is the website. Trivia night coming up in May. I'm going to hammer you for some money as we get closer to that. Window World is the number one selling replacement window in the United States. Now, here's the number one travel on the road and tell you about it guy in the United States, Bill Cleveland.
Hey. Good afternoon.
Hello, Bill. Great. How are you? I saw your video, by the way, on Worlds of whatever it is in Springfield. What's it called?
Wonders
of Wildlife. Yeah. Yes. And I could just tell there's no way you could have gotten it all in. That video would have been an hour long.
Yeah, I spent about 5 hours in there. You're right.
Yeah, and it's just, what do you put on video? You can't do it justice, but I enjoy it. I enjoy all your videos.
Thanks.
Good.
Appreciate that.
Well, we're talking about animals.
We were talking about roadside attractions this week a couple of times. I thought, I'll give you a few roadside interesting things that you might want to see in the state of Missouri. Just kind of oddball, weird things. And a couple of them are actually in St. Joseph, Missouri. I don't know if you've ever been to St. Joseph before, but there's a lot of things to do in St. Joseph. I was actually very surprised how many interesting things there were to do in St. Joseph. There's one place called the Glore Psychiatric Museum. So this was a psychiatric hospital. And what's sort of, I don't know.
Yeah, and that was my hospital, my family's hospital, was there in St. Joseph.
For those
Joseph.
Who didn't recognize, that was supposed to be the voice of Al Gore. What's the name of the hospital? Was it Gore?
No, it's not Gore. It's Glore.
Way to go, Dan. It's Glore, not Gore. So now your impression really didn't make any sense.
Yeah. Hang on. Larry Connors is pushing me out of the way for the microphone. But it's very interesting. And what they have are these, I guess you'd call them contraptions, things that they use to try to make insane people sane again. And they're very, very creepy. Exactly. They didn't know what the heck they were doing. But it's worth checking out. Maybe not, in the middle of the night going there, but it's pretty interesting. Also,
Glore was actually, I believe, the family name. It's the first name of the guy. Their last name was E-Hole.
Gory Hole?
No, I know there are people that don't know what that is.
The silent L.
Don't Google it.
The silent L. L.
Don't Google. Yes, thank you, Limey. Warning. Don't Google Glory Hole. Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
My goodness. I was going to submit today's broadcast to the broadcast Hall of Fame.
Dude, today's not submit tomorrow's.
Today. Okay.
Submit tomorrow.
Also in St. Joseph is the place where Jesse James was killed. So if you're a big Jesse James fan, you like
following. Well, this is the place I was killed. I got the gun for battle. That's Jesse Jackson. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
And the cure is more cowbell.
I said to him, if you put the gun down, I'm going to shoot you if you don't. And I went on the street and I had a gun battle. And I was wounded, but I was fine. Yeah. Holy Jesse moly. James Jackson.
Yeah. There's a bullet hole in the wall. And it's behind a place called the Patty House Museum. And that's
insane. Yeah, but how do you know that? That's easy to... Well, you know,
they have all the stuff. They have, the evidence that he lived there, and they had things from his family and whatever. I believe it.
Okay.
All right. And then quickly, since we're out of time, I'm going to mention one more, and I never do this. I'm always very positive. I don't do a lot of negative stuff, but I'm going to tell
you. Don't.
I'm going to tell you now a place never to go, okay? This is just outside of Kansas City in the town of Independence.
The landfill?
Would you let me finish my
Sorry. Man, come on, man.
Whoa.
Sorry, Bill. Sorry.
What were you about to say that, buddy?
Yeah. This is called the Leela's Hair Museum. Okay. Oh. The Hair Museum. This was the worst museum. I've been to, like, all of them, it seems. Thousands of museums. This was the worst museum I have ever been to. It's in Independence, Missouri. Yes, it is quirky. I thought it would be, oh, here's a strand of Elvis's hair. Here's a strand of Frank Sinatra's hair. That could be my...
Oh, you know what? When you finished it, you could have written the song. I've seen every hair, man. I've seen every hair.
Oh, my God. So, all right. I know we're out of time. They're wreaths of hair. Hair wreath. Yes, an entire...
Thank you.
Do not go to this place.
And finally.
Well, yeah, that's right. All right. Worst segment ever. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
You're welcome.
I'm Dorlin on 590 The Fan. Adios.